Hello, everybody. My name is Scott. I'm an addict. First off, I want to thank the committee and for asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope. You know, and I got a call like 3 months ago, and then I didn't hear nothing for a long time. So I was like, cool, I'm off the hook. They forgot. They got somebody better, a little bit more spiritual, because like my last year has been real tumultuous. You know, and then I got that call 2 weeks ago, and it was like, yeah, I'll be there, you know. And it's an honor, you know, it's an honor to have an opportunity to share the life-saving message of Narcotics Anonymous. Like, something so special about this fellowship and the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is beyond parallel, you know. And this last week has been the best of times and the worst of times. You know, like one of my predecessors, when I got clean, my clean date is December 29th, 1988. And she was the mother of NA in our area. You know, she had 7 years when I got clean. And she was loved and respected, and she taught me so many things about what to do, and she even taught me things what not to do. You know, because when she had, you know, she went on and became a school teacher, and when she had around 20 years clean, she quit coming to Narcotics Anonymous because she didn't want to see any of her students see her in a meeting, and she lost the miracle. And she went out and used. And it took her about 5 years to make it back. And now she's back. And she has about 5 years. And she's been battling cancer. And, you know, we always meet every Sunday morning, you know, at her home group. And she was fighting this battle for the last year. And we got the news last week that she only has a couple weeks to live. And when I went to her home group and I walked in last Sunday morning, there she was. And I said, damn, my friend set the bar high for making your home group. Because this Narcotics Anonymous is all up in her. And if anybody looked at the Just for the Day last Sunday, we all go into the back room for the Just for the Day meeting, and the heading was Facing Death. And her husband, he turns to me and he says, look at this. And we all shared. He was the first one to share in that back room, and she was the second one to share. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Because we've become family. You know, we all love each other in that back room. It's crazy how we've been going to that meeting for so long, and there's so many people with time and then some new people that, like, you can talk about your stuff without putting it out there, and everybody knows what you're talking about. And it was a celebration as well as sad that, like, this is what we do, you know, and we love each other, you know. And after the meeting, we hugged each other. And she kept telling me, it's going to be okay. She's telling me that it's going to be okay. And thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. And then on the flip side of that, a couple of days later, my sponsor celebrated 34 years clean in Narcotics Anonymous. And last night, him and his wife both celebrate the same week. And I was at his house, and you know, he built a pizza oven in his backyard. And he has a sign that says Ron's Pizza. You know, he's got a brick oven back there. And like, to see him working so hard, making these pizzas, and there's 100 people there, and everybody's in the fellowship, and our family is huge, and a therapeutic value is going on. And I'm sitting there on the back deck looking at him, and I realized that, like, last year, when he celebrated his anniversary, we was in an extended care facility because he had a horrific motorcycle accident on July 4th, and he almost died. He fractured his nose, he smashed his hand, he broke his hand, he fractured his pelvis, internal bleeding, they life flighted him, and he couldn't walk or be on his feet for 6 months. And he was out there doing his thing, you know? And thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. We have a good life here. We have an amazing life here. And, for me to come up here and get this opportunity, it's paramount. Like one of the things that's been on my heart lately is, like, last week we lost 3 guys in the same day. You know, we used to always say, keep coming back. They're not coming back. They're not coming back. And I ask myself every time, you know, when we lose that guy that keeps going back and forth and back and forth, and we're getting sick and tired of hearing his excuses and the yeah buts and you don't understand and all those things, you know, and they start getting on our last nerve and they take the meetings hostage and this, that, and the other. I have to ask myself, did I do everything in my power to carry the message to that addict? We have to up our responsibility. We have to go that extra mile because they're not coming back. You know, I know this program works on attraction rather than promotion. But see, when we get here, sometimes we get comfortable enough to think we're in a social club. And everybody gets comfortable, and you know, and we get to the meeting and we start talking to our friends and how you doing? That's that. What about the guy that don't look so good? What about the guy that's scared that we've never seen before? It is our responsibility. It's our responsibility to carry the life-saving message. That's our primary purpose, to seek out those people that are uncomfortable and share this good news with them, that they never, ever have to feel the horrors of active addiction again. And this is the way. This is the way. You know, so I have to up my responsibility. You know, we had one of them guys show up Sunday. You know, his name is Eric. And every time he uses, he ends up in an ambulance. Every time. And it's been going on for about 4 or 5 years. And Eric is just an acquaintance. He's that guy that I see coming, and one of my sponsees sponsor him, and this, that, and the other, you know. And what I did, instead of giving Eric my phone number, I got Eric's phone number. And I've been up his ass every day. So if he don't make it, if he doesn't make it, at least I know in my heart that I did everything I could to help that man get another day clean. See, that's what I try to do. That's my responsibility. And that's the only way I can keep it. The only way I can keep what I got is to give it away. You know, my story's not unlike anybody else's. You know, when I was born and raised in Washington, you know, I used and I abused and I became addicted. You know, the reason why I'm here is because I used too damn much. Something happens to us. We go from drug use to drug abuse to drug addiction, and there ain't no getting back to normalcy in our lives. I call it my pickle theory. If you take a cucumber and you put it in dill and vinegar, something happens to that cucumber, turns into a pickle. No matter what you do to that pickle, it ain't never going to be a cucumber again. That's us. We will never be able to use successfully. So something happened. My nature had become to use drugs. I've got this thing between my ears called addiction. And you can't use the same brain that got you addicted to get you out of it. That's where you people come in. I need new ideas to combat this thing that I got. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it a disorder, a malady, whatever you want to call it. It's addiction. My problem isn't the chemicals. My problem is my inability to not take them. It talks about in our literature, we are slowly committing suicide. Who commits suicide slowly but us? But it goes on to say addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Can anybody relate? Making sure I'm in the right place. So my problem is the inability, that brokenness. That's our common bond. It ain't heroin or meth or cocaine or crack or alcohol. That's not our common bond. Our common bond is we both understand that if we don't do something, if we don't find a spiritual solution to this dilemma we have, we will return to the scene of the crime. And I think sometimes we forget. We forget that remembering our last one won't keep us from our next one. We can't use the same broken mind that got us addicted to get us out of this shit. And if I'm not working on something, if I'm not moving forward, if I'm not applying steps, if I'm not giving back, if I'm not a part of something special, all of a sudden, my thinking starts changing. You know, I remember when I had about, 8, 9 years clean, and you think you know a little bit of everything, and they ain't doing it like they used to do it around here, and I'm tired of them people in my home group not showing up on time, and this, that, and the other, and, you know, and you start to become bitter, and then you don't want to be a member no more, it becomes a bother. And thank God for the blessing of a home group. See, when they talk about them basic suggestions, we never know when one of those things are going to save our lives. But it's suggested to have one, just like it's suggested to have a parachute if you plan on skydiving. It's necessary. So because I had a home group, and every Wednesday night, I had to show up and put the coffee on because nobody else was going to do it right. And I had to come into these meetings, and I couldn't understand what was going on with me, why I was becoming so bitter, and I didn't want to be here no more. And I asked God, please help me. I'm not hearing nothing new. You know, I used to come to these things and people would knock my socks off and I'd be like, wow, you know, and I wasn't hearing nothing new, you know. And God revealed to me that very night. He said, there ain't nothing new for you to hear. It's that same old shit that's giving you your next breath. You better accept it and you better share it with conviction. You ain't supposed to go to the meeting to get something out of the meeting. You're supposed to go to the meeting to give something to the meeting. And only giving, you receive. And it became clear. It became clear. And I've never looked back since. I've never questioned my membership in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I have a primary purpose. I try to fulfill it to the best of my ability. You know, I sponsor like 11 guys. And they have sponsees, and they have sponsees. And it's crazy. You know, my family is alive and well. And what blows my mind is, like, my grand sponsor is Paul S. from up in the Butler area. And he has a humility about himself. And my sponsor is Ron B. from in Washington, and he has a humility. And I try to maintain a humility about myself. And then my sponsees try to maintain humble themselves. And they teach that to their sponsees. And not one of us has went rogue. You know what I mean? And like, think we got it going on. We're just a bunch of guys, man. We answer our phone when somebody calls. We show up at our home groups regularly. We get involved with service and we give back what was freely given. You know, and it's just neat to see how it can flow straight down through generation after generation after generation. You know, and like last night, we're sitting there, and my sponsor's there, my grand sponsor's there, and I have five sponsees that were there, and like, that's what we do. We get together and we share, you know. I was on my way up here, and I said, well, I'll probably not know anybody up there. And then there's Lance, you know. He was a member of my home group for years. And Ron and a few other people. And, you know, and it feels so good. They talk about the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. You know, and like, I'm free today. You know, a month ago I was sitting on the beach in Punta Cana, you know. I didn't even know where Punta Cana was. You know? And I was talking to somebody before the meeting that like, life has changed so much that I'm sitting there and I couldn't wait. It was like Christmas every morning to get to the beach and be the first one there to watch the sun come up and to meditate and get with God and realize how grateful that I am for the life that I have today. You know, and then when people would start coming down, it's 9, 10 a.m. and they're getting their pina coladas on and they're getting their this on. And I thought to myself, why would I want to take a chemical to change my perception of reality when my reality is wonderful? Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. I don't want that shit no more. But if I don't show up here, that shit looks good. That's crazy that the disease of addiction hasn't went anywhere. It's right here, just waiting on me to do what my friend did and not show up. You can't get this nowhere else. It talks about those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean. And I want to be one of those regularies. I got the key to my home group in my pocket. And it's an honor every Thursday night. Everything got to stop on Thursday night. See, I own my own business, you know, and people roll in and they may have a pocket full of money and they want to spend. Thursday, I got to go. I shut it down early. And I never miss. I never miss my home group unless I'm out of the country or in the hospital. You know, and, you know, life was wonderful. You know, I share with you what it's like right now. You know, I have a daughter and a son. And I've been clean longer than they've been alive. And my son and my daughter are both heroin addicts. And, you know there's issues in your house when you can't never find any spoons and shit. You know? Like, I just bought some from Family Dollar a month ago. What's going on here? And, but I'm blessed to say that my son is in the Lancaster area with 4.5 years clean in Narcotics Anonymous. Amazing. You know, we got together at Marlikna this year and went to the convention together. And he's on the convention committee, and he was the merchandising chair. And Saturday morning, I go up there Friday, and I go down to the merchandising room, and everything was great. So I go down Saturday morning when I woke up. None of her committee showed up. Now, you'll hear me say him and her because she is transitioning to a him, so I'm still all over the place with that. But none of the committee showed up. So I jump right behind the counter And I became a part of the merchandising committee at Marlikta. And I loved it, man. We were doing this thing together. You know? That's heavy, man. And when I get them phone calls and he'll say, "Dad, what do you got on step 8? I drop everything. You know? Man, because like, I always said, if I could give my kids, and now I have an opportunity, because he's working steps, and he's in college, made the dean's list, and he's getting married next year, and amazing, you know? And the flip side of that is my youngest. She is stuck on a methadone maintenance program for the last 3-4 years of her life. Stuck in limbo. And I'm not here to have opinions on that stuff one way or the other. I'm just saying, for her, she's stuck. And she has a daughter, 2 actually now. And my first granddaughter, when she was using, and my granddaughter was 2.5 years old, CYS kicked in the door, and there she was, huddled next to the stove, trying to stay warm. And it took me 3 weeks to get custody of my granddaughter. Now she's 7. And last year I officially adopted her. You know, she's mine. And she's a handful. And she's my joy. She's my everything. So I'm putting one on the school bus for first grade last week. School shopping again for school clothes. That whole 9 yards, you know? And that's what happens here, man. Like, you know, I was telling somebody before the meeting, this is my 2nd rodeo, not my 1st rodeo. You know, and yes, guys, I can braid hair and brush hair and give her baths and pick out her clothes and do the whole 9, you know. And I learned all that stuff from staying around here, you know. I raised my two daughters because their mother couldn't stay here. We had 3-4 years clean together, and she decided to go back out. And she came in and out for the last 20-something years. And last July, it finally took her life. She died, fentanyl overdose, trying to get clean again. So sometimes it takes time. But our ends are always the same. Jails, institutions, or death. Or we recover. We recover here in Narcotics Anonymous with the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. You know, there's a certain formula that I learned early on. Because, see, I showed up, and these people told me in the meeting, they said, "Just don't take the first one." And I would say, "That's what I do, is take the first one. I don't know how not to take the first one." They said, "I'm going to give you the recipe to recovery. If you do these things, you never have to use again. You need to hit your knees every day. You need to call your sponsor every day. You need to make a Narcotics Anonymous meeting every day. You need to work the steps to the best of your ability and not take nothing no matter what." That's how we stay clean. We need to put something between us and that first one. Something that's going to empower me, to give me the ability, the opportunity not to take that first one. And when I do those things, I'm acting my way into a new way of thinking instead of trying to think my way into a new way of acting. Something starts happening, a miracle starts taking place. So I kept showing up at these meetings, and I didn't think it was going to happen for me, you know. And they talk about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We'll be well on our way. We need to add humility to that list, the ability to ask for help. Because I'm sitting there, and I had 6 days clean. And for the first time, You know, they said, "Did anybody feel like using today and would like to talk about it?" And I raised my hand and I said, "Yeah. I got a paycheck out on my job. And if I pick it up, I know it's curtains. And I don't know what to do." So after the meeting, these three experienced members came up to me. They said, "Yo, Slick, what's the game plan?" I said, "Well, I don't know. You know, my sponsor told me to turn my finances over to my mom because I can't have no money because I get it in." They said, "Well, come on, let's go get this paycheck." So we all piled in their car, and they're laughing and joking on my way to my job. And I instantly knew what a resentment was, because there wasn't shit funny with 6 days clean in my life. So they take me out, and we go get this paycheck, and I get in the car, and they bring me back to recovery club. And they said, "Well, what's the game plan?" I said, "Well, I'm going to catch the bus." They said, "Oh, no, 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 it don't work that way." They said, "Where's your mother at?" I said, "Well, she's at work. She's at Sears." They said, they put the car in drive, and they took me to Sears. So I go in with this paycheck, and my mother happened to be home on her lunch break. So I come back out, and they're like, "Now what?" I said, "Well, she's home on her lunch break." They said, "Get in the car. We'll take you home." And I went in, and I gave my mother the paycheck, and I said, "Mom, give me $10 for gas. These guys drove me all over the place." And I came out, and I said, "Here's some money for gas." And they said, "We don't want your money. You just have your sorry ass right here for the meeting tonight. We'll pick you up at 7. Those guys saved my life. That is the therapeutic value. Just because I said my name was Scott and I'm an addict, this outpouring of love started coming. And I couldn't understand, and I didn't know how to accept it. But what I did was just hold on to my chair. I kept holding on. Every time I wanted to run, I kept looking around, because it felt like it was a clique and I was on the outside looking in. You know, they was all laughing and smiling and stuff, and I knew them was the people I needed to be with. So I finally made that walk across the room and asked that guy to be my sponsor. And he said, "Yes, we got you. Call me every day." And I said to myself, "Well, I got called him early." And see, it wasn't easy. I had a problem with every one of those basic suggestions. But he kept saying, "Just do it and shut up and see what happens." See, you can't get the benefit of something until you do it. Then all of a sudden, it becomes clear. You know, so I'm calling him every day and going to meetings, and I finally bought my first NA hoopty, you know, and I had about 60 days clean, and I had it for about 2 weeks, and the transmission went out. So I was so used to calling my sponsor, the first thing I did when I had some trouble in my life is I picked up the phone and called my sponsor. We have a saying, what you do in practice is what you're going to do in the game. So I picked up that phone and I said, "Can you believe this? Transmission went out." He said, "Well, you ought to be mighty grateful." I said, "No, you must not have heard me." I said, He said, "But look at the quality of your problems you have today. When you got here, all you had was a habit." He said, "You need to get on your knees and thank God for the quality of your problems today." And I almost dropped the phone, because that's how quickly I forgot that now I have a sponsor. I was forming a relationship with a God. I had all you people. I had Narcotics Anonymous. I had a new way of life. And I got on my knees and I said, "Thank you for my broke ass car." And I got through. And everything seemed to start falling into place. Life started getting better. You know? That's the beginning of the miracle. And all I have to do today is do the maintenance. I'm here. You're here. We're the blessed ones to have a moment in our lifetime to walk into Narcotics Anonymous and have the ability to hear this message and not heed it. Then you're not a victim no more. You're a volunteer. There was a point in time when we just was felt like we were partying or getting it in or whatever. But now that we know that there's a better way to live and we don't do those things and we don't work this program, we're not no victim no more. It's a simple program. And it's not about perfection. Lord knows. This past year has been crazy. But it's about making a little bit of progress, a day at a time, and doing the best we can to live life. But the most important thing is that we put ourselves in a position to recover on a daily basis. We put the right people around us. We do the right thing. And wonderful things will happen in our lives. You know, in 2 days, I'm going to be closing on my house. You know, I have my own business. And it's a wonderful thing that, like, I used to be a mill worker. And I used to say stuff like, I'm going to retire from this job. I'm going to be here forever. I had 18 years in the mill. And I'm going to pass away in this house because I own it. It's paid for. I'm not going nowhere. Well, I lost my job and my house burnt down. So don't ever say that. Because God will scramble them eggs. You know? But you know, it's a wonderful thing. I've been worried for the last month. You know, I got approved for the loan, and it's hard when you're an entrepreneur and you're in business for yourself. Nobody wants to give you a loan, you know. And I had to come up with $30,000 to put down, and I have it, you know, and be able to say that I'm going to be a homeowner again, you know, and hopefully if I don't screw it up, I'm going to be getting married next year sometime. And I got my little one and my daughter on methadone. I love her dearly. And the other one, I love her dearly. And I love all you people, you know, and my life is good. It's so full, you know, and the most important thing that I could say that I have on a daily basis, because I do this maintenance, I have a sense of well-being. I remember I used to open my eyes and I'd feel like, oh, shit. Because of the stuff I've done yesterday and what I'm about to do today. Being ragdolled by the disease of addiction. That's gone, man. That dude is gone. I've been clean and in Narcotics Anonymous over half my life. I have no more excuses. And neither do you, since you heard the life-saving message. Thanks for letting me share.